All right. Today we are going to continue on the unconditional election, as this is a series that we are going through on the doctrines of grace. We spent about 2 months on the nature of the man, and we saw by nature we were enemies of God. The Bible says that, Romans 5:9 says that, Romans 8 says that we are by nature an enemy of God. And we see that if by nature, if we are enemies of God, the only thing what we deserve, nothing good from God but the wrath of God. And we see, if you study the book of Romans, you will see, how can we escape now the judgment? Everybody is under sin. No exceptions. And we see, then we come to the grace of God. As what we see, even unconditional election is just the opposite of conditional election. Conditional election is God elects somebody upon what man has done. God looks at man and says, wow, this person is a good person, so I'm going to elect him. That's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures say an unconditional election. That means we don't deserve nothing. We deserve the wrath of God. And if God is going to elect us, He is going to elect us only on the merit of Christ alone. And I was telling this even on Friday night's prayer meetings we have here, going through a little series on the prayer, and we see even when we pray, we had to pray in Jesus' name. And that means even if God, when we come to pray as beggars to the sovereign Almighty God, that means we are seeing our helplessness. That is prayer. Crying to God in helplessness. And God is not, God is not obliged to reply our prayers. Because the Bible says He answers our prayers according to His will. 1 John 5:14. So even if He answers His prayers, it's not because we are good. It's not because we did something, we prayed better than the other person. No, it's because of what Christ did for us on the cross. That's why when we pray in Jesus' name, everything what He had done. So in the same way, when we come to election, it is nothing on us. Absolutely nothing. A lot of times when we talk about election, as we live in a democratic country, we think we got a lot of freedom to elect or to choose a president, don't we? We do. But when it comes to salvation, it's a different issue. We do not choose God, but God chooses us according to His sovereign grace. He does the choosing, not us. That's why Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Even when Jesus chose the disciples, how did He choose them? Did He go and tell the disciples, I'm going to have a sermon today, I want everybody to come, and Jesus gave a sermon, and at the end of the sermon, He called people forward and said, now you came forward, now I'm going to elect you. I mean, is that the way He did it? No. Disciples did not come to Jesus. Jesus went to them and said, follow me. When Jesus said, follow me, they were fishermen. They dropped everything and followed Him. So that is called that's an effectual call, that when God calls us, you cannot refuse. When God called Paul, he was a murderer, a persecutor. When God called him, he couldn't say no. God is infinitely holy. You need to understand that. The heavens are not pure in His sight. His eyes are so pure that He cannot look upon evil. God hates sin, He will not tolerate sin. He will not compromise sin under no circumstances. When man sinned against the infinitely majestic God, God demands justice that man should be punished. I told you this before. If God is a good judge, if there's a good judge, and if all, and the good judge says, I'm loving judge, I'm very good, I'm going to allow all the murderers to go free. Is he a good judge? Absolutely not. He's not a good judge. A good judge will punish the sinners. God is a good judge. He's the judge of the universe. He will not tolerate sins. He demands punishment. That's why God, instead of punishing, God elected some to be saved by sending His Son. And His Son was bruised. His Son was punished for our sins. Why did He do it? Because of His own pleasure. Because of His own will. And we cannot ask God, why you elect some and why that some are not elected? Why? We cannot, because God does this according to His independent counsel, according to His own will. When man sinned, probably the angels saw when God was going to send His Son to die for man and that God was going to redeem some. Probably the angels saw that this is not consistent with the attributes of God. Because when angels sinned, God did not forgive them. God did not pardon them. So when they saw, probably this is not consistent with the attributes of God to save man, because man deserves to be punished. But God in His holiness, in His majesty, in His justice, in His truth, in His mere pleasure, there's nothing too hard for God. In His infinite wisdom, in His infinite power, God elected Christ to redeem mankind. That God can save even the worst murderer. God can save even the worst adulterer, the worst sinner, the worst blasphemer. Can be saved without causing any harm to His attributes. He can save that person. So God can choose anybody whom He wants to. Now, I want to go to a scripture reading today and really explain the doctrine of unconditional election on Romans chapter 9. Oh, there are many who say that election is based on God's foreknowledge. That means God looks into the future and He says, God sees that this person is going to accept me, and upon that basis, I'm going to elect that person. Now we saw in our previous two studies that is not correct. The word foreknowledge means that God loved us before the foundation of the world. That God doesn't see the actions, but God loves the person. God has an intimate, personal love before the foundation of the world. So if you turn with me to, hold on to Romans and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9. 2 Timothy, did I say 1 Timothy? Yeah. Sorry, 2 Timothy 1 9. It says here, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Hey, that means just because we are elected, just because we are Christians, we cannot do anything what we want to, can we? There's a responsibility. What is the responsibility? It's a holy calling that we need to live a holy life. Then it says, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So when was this grace given to us? before time began, through eternity. That's why God told Jeremiah that I knew you before you were born. Before the time began, before Jeremiah was born, I knew you. Now, this is a glorious thing of election when God can tell you, I knew you. I know you. Not because you acknowledge me, but before time began. Now, isn't that neat? That's a wonderful thing. I can say, man, I cannot believe this. I cannot understand this. That's the glorious thing of the election. Now let's go back to Romans and see when God says in the book of Romans, this is the most clearest passage, so I need to go through this one. Let's start with Romans chapter 9, verse 9. Read up to 23. And it says here, for this is the word of promise, at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac. For the children, not yet being born, nor having done any good, nor evil, that the purpose of God according to his election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Of course, he's talking on Esau and Jacob. God is saying, they're not even born. They haven't done any good or evil. But God is going to elect one person out of these twins so that God will be glorified, that God is the one who is going to do the election, not us. Then he says, verse 12, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I have compassion on whomever I have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to this purpose, for this very purpose, I have raised you up. This is for Pharaoh. I may show you my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, that is God, and whom he wills, he hardens. He will say to them, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? Of course, when God says that, you have questions. Then Paul says in verse 20, but indeed, O man, are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed to say to him, formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have the power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God wants to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure the much long suffering, the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had prepared beforehand for glory? Now, there are some people looking at this. The question is, why did God elect Jacob over Esau? They were both twins. The question is very clear. Apostle Paul said, God elected them before they were born, before they could have done anything. But some say that God chose Jacob because God knew that Jacob would be a spiritual man. God knew that Esau was going to be a fleshly man. I'm quoting a pastor who is very popular today in the Orange County area. That's what he said. God knew that Jacob would be a spiritual man. If God knew that Jacob, looking ahead, Jacob would be a spiritual man, then we see there's something wrong there, because God elected before they were born. God knew them. Grace was given before they were born. Now, listen to Some also say that when God said here, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, some people say Esau, what it means is Esau I have less loved. It doesn't say that in the Bible. See, we can play all kinds of spiritual gymnastics with this to show our opinion, but it doesn't say it. Bible says very clearly, one person I love, the other person I hate. If God wanted to say, I less, just say the other way. Jacob I had loved, but Esau I had less loved. This is it. So, if we say that God elects some people because God sees they are good, they are spiritual, then why should Paul say in verse 20, "O man, who are you to reply against God?" Why should he say that? Then why should God say verse 14, "Is there unrighteousness with God?" If God is going to elect people, God is going to elect people, because Jacob is a good person, so I'm going to elect him. Then why should God say it? In the verse 14, Paul said, is God unrighteous for electing Jacob because he's good? Of course not. He's good. We all should agree that Jacob should be elected. Right? Everybody should agree God should elect people who are good. There should be no questions. Because everybody should agree. There should be questions on verse 20. Who are you to question against God? There should be questions. But there are questions here. Why? Because something is wrong. Because man's ways are not God's ways. Man wants people to be elected according to their good things, what they have done. But here, God is going to elect Jacob, who is a deceiver, who is a liar. That's why Paul said, wow, you elected Jacob, who is a liar, a deceiver? So Paul is saying, who are you to question God? And then we are going to see that now, how Jacob is a liar and a deceiver. And we are going to expose this passage. We need to read the whole story. For us to read the whole story, of course, we got to go back to Genesis, where it started. See the good picture. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 27. To hold on to Romans 9:25. So let's turn to Genesis 27. If you read Genesis 27, God should have elected Esau, not Jacob. You see very carefully. Because on this passage, we see Esau was more truthful than Jacob. And we see in this passage, if God is going to elect according to people's actions, I'll tell you, Esau was more truthful. He was more worthy than Jacob. Because Esau really hunted for the true blessing, for his father speedily. And Esau had big expectations for the blessing. And let's see verse 20, chapter 27, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old, his eyes were so dim that he could not see. He called Esau, his oldest son, and said to him, my son. He answered him, here I am. 2. Then he said, behold, now I am old, I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go to the field and hunt game for me, and make me a savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. And here verse 5 says, Rebekah was listening to Isaac when he spoke to Esau, his son. Esau went to the field to hunt game, and to bring it. Now, here we see very clearly that one thing we see is Isaac is blind. He's handicapped. So he doesn't know what is going on. He cannot see. He's handicapped. And here we see Esau, he went to the field to hunt for venison. He really went. In the meantime, while Esau was hunting, we see Jacob was going to listen to his mom's plan. It's a deceiving plan, and Jacob is going to compromise and listen to it. And the father is old, he cannot see, and he's about to give the blessing to Esau, but behind the scene, we see there's a lot of deception going on. Holy Spirit put this for a purpose so we can understand Romans 9. First, we see Jacob was a man of smooth skin. Esau was a man who had hairy skin. So what did they do? First, Jacob put over his hands the animal skins, you know. So the father, he's blind. Jacob pretended to be Esau. He went to the father and said, "My father, here I am." Chapter 27, verse 18. Let's go to that. Verse 18. So he went to his father and said, "My father," he said, "here I am. Who are you, my son?" Then verse 19, we see one deception after another, one lie after another. Verse 19 says, and Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn." Tell me, who is the spiritual man? Is Jacob a good person here? A spiritual man here? He said, it was a total lie. "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me." He didn't even talk to Jacob. He talked to Esau. "Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." I'll tell you, he is not convicted of his sin. Jacob is greedy for the blessing. Meanwhile, Esau is hunting in the wilderness, in the jungles. He's hunting for game. Meanwhile, Jacob is deceiving. And here, Jacob did not give the true venison. It's a counterfeit venison. Father said, "Go to the jungle and kill." Not only he lied, he took the word, God's name, in vain. Let's see verse 20. But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." He took God's name in vain. He mixed the sin with the sacred holy name of God. What is this? Is it sin or not? Why did the Holy Spirit do this? We cannot compromise. We cannot cover Jacob's sin. Anybody who is reading, a child who will reading, can understand this. So we cannot come to our own opinions and cover it and put other scriptures around it and show something else. No, it's so clear. Even a kid can understand this. Then he goes on to say, verse 21, "Then Isaac said to Jacob, 'Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not.'" Hey, he got some doubt here. Verse 22, "So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and felt him and said, 'The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are hands of Esau.'" So here, even the father doubted, because the voice is not right here. Jacob did not say anything. Here he had the greatest opportunity to confess his sin. The opportunity was there. "Father, I'm sorry. is not, this is not Esau, this is Jacob. But there was still no conviction of his sin. Looking to his father, seeing he's blind, I'm still going to go on deceiving him. Taking advantage of his mother's craftiness for his own greediness to get the blessing, we see even when the father doubted, even when the opportunity came to tell the truth, Jacob silently sinned. Jacob was not only a liar, he was a professional liar, as he lied boldly. He was seeking the blessing by fraud, in contrary to the truth. Verse 24 says, then he said, are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. See, a bold professional liar, continually lying, one after the other. He did not blush in his sin. This is trickery, this is deception toward God. Even when he says, then he came near him, verse 27, and kissed him. How can you kiss him? With lies and treachery and trickery and deception. He kissed him. I'll tell you, this time Esau is tired hunting. And he's hunting for true venison. Then he came and cooked and gave to his father. He didn't need mother's help. He really cooked and gave to his father. And let my father arise. Verse 31. He also made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise, each of his sons gave, that your soul may be blessed. Then verse 32, father asked, who are you? I'm your son, firstborn Esau. He told the truth. He didn't know what was going on. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I blessed him. Then Esau heard the words of his father. He cried with an exceedingly and bitter cry. Hey, that was a true cry. He cried exceedingly bitterly. Why? He was deceived. He was truly deceived. You see the story? But so many people are saying, God saw that Jacob was a spiritual man. I don't see any spirituality in Jacob. Jacob was a liar. He was a deceiver, unworthy. He was just like me. When I see Jacob, I see me. I don't deserve to be elected. We all, but it says here, Isaac, he could not reverse the blessing. It was too late. Because Jacob, if already the blessings were given. But here God said, looking at Jacob, he said in Romans 9, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. Now that is questionable, isn't it? Looking at the story, when God, looking at this whole thing, what Jacob has done, he said, yeah, I have loved Jacob, and Esau I have hated. That's why Romans chapter 9, verse 20, Romans chapter 9, let's go to Romans 9 now, says, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, the purpose of God, election might stand, not of works of him who calls. Okay? That means God is not going to look at the action. If he looks at the action, we humans looks at the action. And see, this is not fair. What God is electing Jacob is not fair. Because Jacob is a deceiver, unworthy man. Then Paul goes on to say, verse 20, But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Paul knew it's going to happen. Paul knew some people are going to ask this question, saying it's not fair. But who are you to reply against God? Election is not of man, it's on God. If election is of God, if election is of man, I'll tell you, nobody is going to be saved here today. Nobody. Because we are all sinners. Nobody would go. Anybody in God's sight, the Bible says very clearly, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody. And the wages of sin is what? Death. So if election is of man, where is you? Where are you? Where am I standing? Where are you standing? Hell. But praise God, election is of God, isn't it? Isn't that great? I don't deserve it. You and I, we are like Jacob. We all are unworthy. We all have deceived people. We are just like anybody else, have told many lies. We cannot cover it up. Look at the mirror. You see yourself as Jacob. We are unworthy, pitiful, miserable sinners. We humans, if election is of man, we should not question God and say, when Paul said, who are you to reply against God? We should not question. But election is of God when God says, I love Jacob and hated Esau. Romans chapter 9 verse 14 saying, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? I'll tell you, God's loves or he can hate without any worthiness or unworthiness, because election is before the foundation of the world. Romans 9 verse 15 says, he said to Moses, I have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion whom I will have compassion. Here we see very clearly that Jacob was unworthy. He deserved judgment. Instead, God showed mercy to Jacob. Instead, God showed compassion to Jacob. So then the election is not what you do, it's not what the person does. Election is according to God's grace, according to his sovereign pleasure. Because, see, verse 11 says the election before they were born. They could not do even good or bad, having not done anything good or evil. So God elected them before they were born. That's what we saw in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, right? Grace was given when? Before they were born. And so election is not of works, is not of will, who run it, not according to our will. It's according to the will of God. And Ephesians, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5. Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestined us, let's see verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adopt as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So why does God elect some? Nothing good in us, just says according to his good pleasure. The will of God is called his mere pleasure. Elisha Cole said that the great God blessed forever hath an absolute power, the right dominion over his creatures to dispose and determine of them or as seemeth his good. The great theologian Jonathan Edwards said the sovereignty of God is his absolute independent right of disposing all creatures according to his own pleasure. Then he went on to say, God can either bring salvation to any person whom he wants, or refuse it with any prejudice, being harmed to any of his attributes. Just because God is not going to elect Esau, that's not going to harm God's attributes. Still, God is going to be infinite, holy, just God. Because God is the king of the universe, and he has all the power, right to rule. And he can carry out his will according to his own pleasure. When we say his own pleasure, it means this. It means not what we think, okay? It means God is not obligated to anybody. It means he has the full liberty. It means he has the full freedom. It means he is fully independent. We humans are not fully independent. We don't have the full freedom. Even if you're the richest man in the world, still you have to oblige to the policeman on the road, to the judge, to the government. You don't have the full freedom. But God, he has the full freedom, full liberty. That means his mere pleasure. Nobody can question him and say, God, what are you doing? Nobody. But still many will question God, huh? And that's why Paul said in verse 20, but who are you, man, to reply against God? Shall the thing that formed say to him who formed it? And question is, who are you? We are just dust and ashes. If we are just dust and ashes, how can we dispute against Almighty God? He can just blow you, you'll be dead. Even the next breath that you're taking is by the grace of God. Right? That's why Isaiah 46 verse 9. Hey, what are we seeing here? What we are seeing here is all the glory to God. Nothing to me. Absolutely nothing. That's what we are seeing. God is awesome. That's what we are seeing. Isaiah 46 verse 9. Remember, 46 verse 9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there's no other. I am God, and there's none like me. As then verse 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying what? My counsel shall stand, and I will do what? All my what? Pleasure. That means God is going, he has the full liberty, full freedom, he is fully independent to do anything he wants to, and nobody can question him. And say, God, you're not fair. We cannot question and say to God, God, you're not fair because there's a lot of people who are very poor. You're not fair, there's a lot of people who are in Africa, who are deformed. And we cannot blame God for that. That's because of sin, what we have done. We have to say, God does everything according to his own pleasure. Then, Revelation chapter 4 verse 11. Why did God create us? Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Not to man, but to God, right? For you created all things, and by you, and you created all things, it should say, for thy pleasure they were created. God's own pleasure we are created. So elation is based on God's good pleasure, not anything what we have done. So when we sin against the infinitely holy God, we deserve an infinite punishment. Because God is infinite, so the punishment should be infinite, in hell. Yet, God decided to save some. And this is called election. Right? That election means what? Choosing. Right? That is election. So everybody deserves hell. But yet God, in His own sovereign pleasure, He elected to save some. If you say that is not fair, then the only fair thing is for all of us to go to hell. Right? So God elected some to be saved. And election is exclusive for God's good pleasure for this undeserved, poor, miserable sinners like us. God does not choose according to our goodness, according to what we have done, according to our actions. As the scripture says very clearly, when the children were not yet born, then when they haven't done anything good or bad, the older shall serve the younger. God said, Jacob, I have loved, but Esau I have hated. That's why in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 48, it says here, when Apostle Paul and Barnabas were preaching to the Gentiles, Acts 13:48, when the Gentiles heard this, Acts 13:48, they heard the gospel. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. See that? As many as were appointed to eternal life. That means they have been already appointed before the foundation of the world. Only those people can believe. That's what the word of God says here. I cannot twist the scriptures here. So it is so clear that God cannot love Jacob according to his actions. He cannot. As he was a deceiver. God did not see that Jacob was a spiritual man. He wasn't. But God saw and said, God said, I have loved Jacob. That means he loved Jacob before he was born. Why? I don't know. Why did God love you? I don't know. Why did God love me? I don't know. I don't deserve it. That's the only answer I can tell you. I don't deserve it. Why did God love Jacob? He doesn't deserve it to be loved. So this is a perfect example of election. It is not according to the works of obedience what we do. The works of obedience what we do is once God elect us and we know that we are Christians, then we are called to a holy calling. Then we are going to obey Him. The true elect people will obey God. Right? And we don't deserve anything. Let me close with this scripture in Daniel chapter 4. This is a good example. Story. King Nebuchadnezzar was a man who had a lot of pride. Nebuchadnezzar had a lot of pride, right? And he had so much pride, he was not even a believer here. We know he's not an Israelite. And he's so much pride, but God made him like a calf. A king. And he's a sovereign king. A sovereign king can do a lot of things he wants to, right? He has a lot of power. God made him like a calf, and he had grass for 7 years. And he looked horrible. Then, verse 24, he said, "And at the end of time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. I blessed the Most High, praised and honored him who lived forever." He lives forever. "For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants on the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to what? His will in the armies of heaven, not my will." Then he says here, "And among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can restrain his hand and say to him, what have you done?" 4. Daniel 4. Therefore, verse 35 says, "No one can restrain his hand and say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor, splendor returned to me. My counselors, noble, restored me, and I restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways are justice, and those who walk in pride, he is able to put down." I tell you, this is the story. Like, when we see God, when we see the truth of the Word of God, that brings what? Humility. When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, just imagine, John the Baptist, he had disciples under him. But when he saw Jesus coming, he didn't say, "Man, now I have competition." He didn't say that. But he said, "He is the one who is coming, that I'm not even worthy to tie his shoelaces. And let him increase, so I will decrease." That's what the Word of God does. That's what election does us. What does election does us? Hey, you see yourself. See yourself, where you came from. See you. Your past. And see yourself. Truly see your heart. Only God really sees your heart, your motives, what you're thinking. God sees everything. Everything is naked before his eyes. And see you. What a horrible, wretched, miserable sinner you are. Or me. And everything is naked before God. And you try to cover your nakedness, huh? With all kinds of religion. Cover your nakedness with your good acts, your righteousness, and all kind of stuff. You cannot cover your nakedness. Just like Adam and Eve, when they sin, what did they do? They try to cover their nakedness with all kinds of fig leaves. God went and removed them. That's not going to work. He killed an animal. A blood sacrifice is required. And God made the blood sacrifice again. In the same way, we try to cover our nakedness, our sinfulness. That didn't work. Only Christ's righteousness. That's the robe that we need to wear. It is the righteousness of Christ. That's the robe when we wear the righteousness of Christ. God sees us as perfect as Christ is. He sees us as holy as Christ is. And election is all the glory of God, nothing for man. We see that very clearly in Romans chapter 9. Let's pray.